This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to www.accessradiotaranaki.com.
Time to take a deep breath and clear your mind. It's time for a spiritual chat with Love Keras. Listen in now for insight, meaning and more. Love Keras, on now, only on RTFM.
Good morning, you're listening to Love Keras on RTFM, and I hope you all are having a lovely time and enjoying the first few weeks of 2026. My gosh, that's gone fast. I can't believe that, this year's just flung by, eh? So this morning, I've got my favourite sisters come to have a chat with me, Alyssa and Dawn from The Apothecary.
Morning, Akiris.
Good morning.
Morning, everyone.
So how have you girls been doing?
Yeah, good. Yeah, through the silly season, and now we're kind of marching towards the beginning of the school year.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it does go by really, really swiftly.
And how's you, Liz? How's you been doing?
I'm great. I've just had a lovely break away, and I'm just coming back to work now and enjoying summer with my kids and the school holidays. My daughter goes off to high school in, like, a week and a half or whatever it is. It's
oh
kind
my
of
God.
Bizarre.
I can't believe she's in high school already.
I know, she's too little for high school. She's just a baby still.
Talk about time flying.
Crazy, eh? Oh, so we've got a different topic on the agenda this morning, something that a lot of people will probably relate with. And we're talking about things that go bump in the night or the day, anytime at all. So, we often have these conversations.
I was going to say, is this a different conversation? I feel like we have this conversation a lot. We certainly do in the shop with people that come in looking for things. Yeah, it's really common, actually. We have people come in going, I've had this really weird thing happen, and you're probably going to think it's really bizarre. And I'm like, you'd be surprised what we hear about in here. And nothing is a weird question.
Pitching for converted, really.
Yeah, well, the amount of times people can go, I've got this really weird question. I'm like, I bet you don't.
So, there's been times in my world the most haunted house, I'm going to say haunted just for a word that people will understand, the most haunted house I've ever lived in belonged to my grandparents. And when I was living in the UK and I split up from my first husband, I went to live in my grandparents' house. And I had a flatmate as well, Claire. And there was always noises creaking in the floorboards. My mother would tell me stories about she'd wake up in the night and there'd be somebody at the end of the bed and things like that, but never witnessed it myself. But you would, because we lived in a terraced house, so you had the upstairs and you had the downstairs. So we'd be sitting down watching telly and you'd hear creaks in the floorboard, and it's like, you just think it's the house settling and stuff like that, because that's what we've been taught to believe. It's just it's just the wood creaking.
Well, that's what the conscious mind wants to think, right?
Yeah, like, yeah.
Because we want to make sense of things as humans. It's just human nature.
But I remember a couple of times, there's three incidences that really come to mind for me. The first one is my friend Claire, she came home for us. So we were on opposite shifts. So she came home from work and it was an afternoon shift. So her boyfriend had gone upstairs to bed because he was knackered and we were just downstairs having a catch up. And the next minute we could hear somebody walk. We could literally hear the footsteps walking across the landing. And then it came halfway down the stairs and stopped. And me and Claire looked at each other and she said, or maybe you just got up. And she opened the door, she went upstairs, there was nobody on the stairs, and her boyfriend was fast asleep in bed. So she came downstairs, she said, that was really weird. I said, yeah, that is really weird. So anyway, we carried on the conversation, and then about 5 minutes later, it happened again. Could you hear the footsteps? It stopped, and then it started coughing. And I said to Claire, if that's not him, I'm running out the door.
And was it?
Yes, it was that time.
So that sounds like a spirit, but the other things that can go bump in the night, of course, are not spirits in that someone who's passed.
Yeah.
But energy that's created by us that live in the home as
well. Yes, because our emotions control all of that stuff as well. So isn't that where, what's that word? Poltergeist activity.
That's when they can like actually physically move solid things.
Yeah.
Yeah, they usually are a bit stronger, so they're referred to as a poltergeist.
I had a deadlock on the back door. So it was one of those old-fashioned keys, not like a Yale lock that you could easily pick. It was one of those big, heavy keys, yeah? And, of course, Clay had moved out by this time. It was just me on my own. And every night, as a single woman does, she checks the doors. She'll check the back door, make sure it's locked. I always kept the key in the back of the door, right, so nobody could poke it through and stuff like that.
Good in a fire, too. You don't want to be looking for keys in an emergency, yeah.
And same with the front door. I'd always make sure that was locked, and then I went to bed. And it was quite regular that I'd get up, and the back door would not just be unlocked. It'd be wide open.
Oh, bugger that. Because spirit doesn't scare me, but living people sometimes do. Yes. So like that doesn't feel safe.
That's the crazy thing about it. There was quite a, you know, quite, the first couple of times I was like, oh, did I leave that door open? I must have left the door open. But when
that's the logical brain trying to make sense of the situation, right?
Yeah. But when it kept happening time and time again, I knew full well that it wasn't me.
So how did you deal with it?
I tuned in, and I got the face. It was a little child playing tricks, and I actually mentioned this to my mother, and she said there was a young child in our street that passed at a young age, and his name was Joel, I think it was. And so I went to the house, and I just had an open conversation with this little child that was living in the house with us. And I was like, dude, I know you're not here to cause me harm. I don't feel any malice. I just feel playfulness. And I don't mind you being here with me. I feel safe. But please don't unblock my doors. Don't let that opportunity for, you know, the outside world in our safe space. And I stopped after that. I moved out, I came to New Zealand, but that's how I dealt with that. I didn't know anything about clearings then. I had no idea about, obviously I didn't start my spiritual journey till I came to New Zealand. So I was still stuck in that mindset. I knew about my gifts and about spiritualism, but I didn't know that we were able to clear and what kind of tools we could use to do that.
Yeah, and there's all sorts of tools. When someone comes in and asks, usually I start with, do you think it's a spirit, as in someone who's not passed over,
mm-hmm.
or do you think it's an energetic creation of the people that live in the home or people that lived in the home previously?
Yeah.
Because there's different tools that I use for both of those situations.
Yeah.
And then also talk about what's appropriate for them as well, you know, like whether saining or smudging, using smoke is appropriate, or whether misting might be appropriate, or just talking to them as well is another option too, if it is a spirit. Sometimes claiming the space as well is another one, and we've got tools to help do all of these things here at the shop.
And we can't forget the most recent one with the mirror, my house.
Oh, yes. I did come and do a clearing at your house recently, actually, didn't I? I forgot about that.
Yeah. And that was pretty crazy. There was a big mirror. Well, it still is. But again, I'm all energetic. I don't really worry about stuff. But I was in my house one day. I was actually sitting in bed, and I got this big long mirror on a cupboard above the bed. And it had heavy ornaments in front of it. So I knew that, because this is earthquake, possibility of things falling off. So I had these heavy ornaments in front to make sure that the mirror was in a safe space. And I was sitting in bed one night, and I just happened to hear a noise. I thought it was my son coming into bed. And when I looked up, the mirror. Literally, it didn't slide off. It levitated, fall forward, and pushed everything off the drawer, off the cupboard, and it didn't smash. Even though it landed on those heavy ornaments, it didn't smash.
Lucky.
So that's when I got our friend Alyssa in on the game, because I was too close to it. I couldn't feel anything. I was too close. So sometimes having somebody in to help you out as well.
Yeah, and mirrors are often a portal. They're an opening in a reflection world.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's not uncommon to have stuff go around mirrors. And it was the first thing I said to you too, was where did the mirror come from? Is it new? Did it come from a secondhand shop?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, did you clear it when you brought it into the house to take any ties of, you know, anyone who previously had owned it?
And I did none of that. But the funny thing was you went into my cupboard.
Yeah, well, because when I came into the room, can we talk about this on air? Is it all right with you if we talk about it?
Yeah, we can talk about it. Just maybe keep it PG. Yeah.
So came into the room, cleared the mirror, and then tuned into the energies, and there was something coming from the wardrobe.
Yeah.
And it was like a trapped energy
in
the cupboard. And I said, I don't think this is a spirit. This isn't someone who hasn't passed. You know, this isn't someone who's passed that hasn't moved on. This is it's the mirror, it's the portal. Someone's trying to get a message to you. And I said, there's something in that cupboard that's connected to someone else.
Yeah, yeah.
And you'll hear from whoever it is in the next few days now that we've closed this portal, that we've closed this mirror. And you did.
4 days later.
Yeah.
I had completely forgotten about a certain object that was in my cupboard. And 4 days later, the previous owner of this certain object reconnected with me. And I was blown away. And I haven't had any problems since, by the way. Get rid of that object, and I haven't had any problems since.
Oh, good. I think that's a really good point that we're tapping into here, that whether we think it's an entity like a soul or whether it's an energy, it's all just vibration.
Yeah.
You know, and whether it's an object that has like an attachment to a person or maybe an experience of the past.
Yeah, yeah.
That energy remains, like that vibration remains, and that's all that a spirit is too.
Totally is.
Yeah.
Because we are all energy. We are all vibrations.
Yeah, we are. We're made up of vibrations. We're made up of frequency. I've had a few trippy experiences. And as you guys have been talking, I'm like being reminded of other ones too. And there was a time there where I actually lived in an old nunnery.
Yeah.
And the nun's presence was still there. And of course, me practicing witchcraft and having all of these probably quite odd objects on my altar, their presence got a lot stronger in that house, after we'd been living there for a while.
Yeah.
And I don't know about you, but sometimes I see spirit and it's just kind of out the corner of my eye.
Yeah.
You know, you don't always make out like features or anything, but you get a kind of sense, you know, or some
flash.
Yeah.
Disappears really quick.
Yeah, but a sense, you know, of a presence there or someone standing there. And there was a few occasions where I saw, there was one nun in particular, and I'd see her standing over my children's cot, you know, possibly just admiring the baby, you know.
Yeah.
But when it was waking her up, you know, a lot, I had to say, come on now, I don't mind your presence here, but when you start disturbing, you know, me or the kids sleep, we're going to have a problem.
Yeah.
And so I did a bit of a clearing on the house after that, and it didn't really work. And I realized that this presence, like this spirit, was a nun.
Yeah.
I needed to speak her language.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, so using tools that were applicable to that situation.
Because she was having none of that, eh?
She didn't want a bar of what I was practicing.
Well, what she understood.
That's right. Yeah, speaking her language.
Yeah.
Yeah, what she understood. So, you know, I probably did use a bit of a Christian prayer, but in the end I was just like, go with your God.
Yes.
Yeah, and her presence moved on and we didn't get a lot more disturbances in that house. There was one that came through really, really strongly, but it actually wasn't about the house. It was about me.
Okay.
Yeah, so
there was a few occasions where I'd get a male presence, you know, just kind of standing in a doorway, or I'd kind of see him off, you know, sort of at the end of the house in the laundry, all that sort of thing. And there was a few times that I actually thought it was my brother.
Okay.
Because he had a very, like, similar kind of stature and just their ahua, you yeah. know, just like their energy was very much the same as our brother and as our dad. And so that's how I made the connection. I was like, this is one of the ancestors and it's on dad's side of the family because it feels like my bro feels like the old man. And then one day I was home by myself and I was just sitting there folding washing on my day off and I felt his presence come through really strongly. And so, yeah, we just had the conversation. I was like, you've been hanging around a lot. What do you want? Yeah. What's the message? And this is getting a little bit personal, but as soon as I opened up that conversation, like as soon as I acknowledged his presence and went, yeah, I know who you are, it was actually our grandmother's father,
okay,
who had died when she was just a baby.
Yeah.
And I was like, what are you doing here? Like, what do you want? And he yelled at me.
Oh, wow.
And it actually was quite scary. I don't know if you guys have ever felt that, but yeah, I just was suddenly filled with all of this like fear.
Yeah.
But the message was, stop yelling at your kids because this is how it feels. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. And very I was like, interesting. Okay, yeah, I need to change my parenting tactic. Like,
yeah.
Being loud to get my message across isn't working. It's actually fearful and possibly even intimidating my children, and that's not the kind of parent I want to be.
Yeah.
And there was probably some ancestral healing coming through that line when I had that realization as well, and breaking that pattern.
Absolutely.
Yeah, breaking that cycle. So sometimes, you know, there is a message in it and you just have to be open to receiving what that is.
Totally. Yeah. And it's normally what comes into mind is, say, you know, what is that message is the first thing that pops into mind. Why are you doing this? Why is this happening? First thing that pops into mind.
That's right. Mm. That first intuitive
message. Trust that instinct.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Ah.
Well, on that note, should we break to a song?
Let's do that. Have you got a song for us?
Yeah. So speaking of spirits, there's a really nice song by, what's his name? DJ Taz Rashid, probably saying that wrong, but the song is called Spirit In.
Ah, I like it. Let's give it a listen.
Thank you. society, y'all. Within this society, there's love. For us, we are free. We're together, and we always be together. And we always give love. Bring love. Bring love. Don't hurt them. Just love them.
That's an awesome song. I can't say I've heard that one before.
It's real uplifting, eh?
It's
real
really
nice,
cool.
Upbeat.
Yeah, lots of nodding going on in that session.
Some movement. Needs to be played loud on a Sunday morning, that one, I reckon.
Yeah, man.
That was on my workout playlist. That was like my get up early workout.
Yeah.
Set the vibe for the day.
Perfect.
Yeah.
So you were telling us about the entities in your house, and how did you go after that happened?
Well, because it was an ancestor, I didn't really feel the need to do like a big purification, you know, or a banishing or a clearing on the house.
Yeah.
I felt like once I understood why, you know, his presence was coming through, you know, like I got the message and then I changed the behavior, and then, yeah, the visits were sort of less frequent.
Yeah.
Haven't seen or heard from him in a lot, in many, many, many years.
Message received and understood.
Yeah. So sometimes, it's not necessarily about needing to move a presence on. Sometimes it's actually about, realizing why they have come through anyway, because they're not all bad.
And that's the thing is, in everyday life for us, we only learn from experience. We've never learned from, I told you that would happen, or don't do this because this is going to happen.
Yeah.
You only learn when something happens to you and say, do you like how it feels?
Mm. Yeah, and in that case, that was what it was about. But, I mean, we've had other experiences with spirit that haven't even been like that at all. Lassa, you should tell the story about when we moved in here.
Yeah, well, that was one of the clearest or strongest experiences I had with spirit. So we got the key to this place about a week before we actually moved in. And so we were cleaning because it had been closed up for a really long time. Everything was really dusty.
There was like 100 years worth of dust.
And I was cleaning the windows in the shop with my back to the front door. And I heard and felt the floorboards move of someone come in through the front door and walk across the floorboards. And as I sort of turned to look to see who it was, I felt their cheek brush past my cheek as they leaned over my shoulder and said, what are you doing? Like very clear as a day, what are you doing?
Okay.
And I kind of went, oh, there's no one there. And I went, cleaning the windows. At the same time, Dawn had also heard the footsteps and, like, you know what I mean by what you feel someone walk across the floor?
Yeah.
I was doing the skirting boards in the other room and heard the footsteps by the front door and thought, oh, someone's come in, thinking, you know, it was one of our mates. It was Jen or Paige or someone, you know. And so walked into the shop to see who had come in to visit. At the same time, I hear Lissa go, just cleaning.
And Dawn went, oh, I thought someone was here. And I went, yeah, no, there is someone here.
We just can't see him.
So I just had a little tune in, and we worked out that it was one of the nurses, because this building was built in 1910 for a Dr. Hughes, and upstairs was nurses' quarters. And so very obviously was one of the nurses. And so I just said to them, look, we're opening a healing clinic. You might have some information for us. You know, you could be help here, but we're alternative. Because, of course, there was also a big chapel in the back. We're at the back of St. Mary's Church. Like, the nurses here would have been religious nurses in 1910. And that went hand in hand. And so, you know, I said, well, we're going to be a little bit different to how you do it. Or maybe we wouldn't have been different to how you would have done it. So if you've got some information to share, then you are more than welcome to hang around. I said, but if you're not going to be happy with how we work and how we're going to do things, then we're claiming the space now. We're going to need you to move on. And so, yeah, we didn't move them on at all. And we haven't really had any, no bad experiences since we've moved in. But the funny thing was that we also met our new neighbour that afternoon, and she came across to introduce herself, and she said, oh, it's definitely the sort of building where you leave at night and you get back the next morning and you think, I didn't leave that open, or I didn't leave that there, and things sort of move or go bump in the night, as we said earlier. And I didn't say anything. I just sort of smiled and went, oh, yep, we'll see what happens. And then she said, it was maybe about 6 months or so later, she was like, it's been really different since you guys moved in. Like, it's way lighter, and I noticed things don't move around anymore. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's cool.
Just adding to that too, because the apartment, so the nurses used to live upstairs, and the apartment's still there. And the tenant moved out a few months ago, and my adult son has moved in with his girlfriend and their flatmate. And after their first night in the house, they were all like coming back from next door with their coffees, you know, when I was opening up the shop. And I said, how was your first night, you know, in your new flat? And my son wasn't there. It was just his girlfriend and the flatmate. And they both got really quiet and just kind of looked sideways at each other. And I went, oh, no, like, what's happened? And the dude goes, is it haunted? And I was like, oh, hell yeah. And just accepted it. And I said, you know, what's happened? And he said, oh, I could just hear footsteps going up and down the stairs all night. And I said, oh, it'll just be the nurses. Just say hello. Let them know who you are. And in his case, I said, and if it bothers you, your tangata whenua, I said, your ancestors have been here on this land before any building, before any clinic or staff member or anything. So just claim the space. So just put your roots down, just talk to your own tupuna, and just, if it bothers you, you can just ask them to leave. And they liked that. That made them feel a little bit more secure. But they've had a few things go moving off the walls, and weird cupboard doors opening when there's no breeze, and you know, just the standard.
That's what a lot of people don't really understand, is like, I sometimes think of a spirit like a naughty toddler. You have to say, no, we're not doing that. You can leave my space, and with love and light, but this is our space now.
Yeah, and that was something that Mum taught us from a really young age. So when I was quite little, I used to see spirit, and Mum said it was always like bedtime or early hours of the morning.
But that's when they're active.
I also think it's when our like conscious kind of mundane brain, you know, starts to quieten down, and like we're slipping into sleep. And so that is when it's easy for spirit to be able to connect.
It is, because it's the meditative state. That's
right.
You know, some people liken it to thinning of the veil.
Yeah.
I mean, because we meditate heaps of times a day without even realizing. We meditate each time we wash the dishes. We're not physically thinking, right, I've got to take this cap, I've got to put it in the water, I've got to wipe it. It all becomes so robotic, automatic,
that it lets our brain wander off. Driving the car is the worst thing.
Yeah.
Well, it's actually not, because your subconscious is 80% stronger than your conscious brain.
Yeah, yeah.
So you are safe in that. It's called the theta brain cycle.
Yeah.
I call it autopilot. Yeah. But, yeah, no, and we, as humans, are designed to actually cycle through our brain cycles through the day. The society we live in, we don't do it as much as we should, because we think things like we can't stay in our subconscious to drive the car or things like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I do a lot of work with people with cranial sacral therapy talking about brain cycles and how to retrain your brain pathways to a healthier pattern to work exactly with those brain cycles.
Ah.
Yeah, but yeah, it is also why we see spirit or why we dream, because that is our subconscious.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, where I was going with you know, seeing spirit as a child was that mum taught us that we live in the physical dimension.
Yes.
So we actually have like the blessing of life.
Yeah.
And that's what gives us, you could call it power, you know, energy. And so mum was saying, if you don't want these, you know, spirits coming through, you just tell them to go away.
Yeah.
And you have, they have to listen.
Yeah.
You know? So I probably spent a lot of my childhood lying in bed going, go away, go away, go away. But that was what she was saying, is that you have to take control. And so I'm just tapping into what you were, you know, talking about before of we have the physical body, we have the blessing of life.
Because everything is about intention, isn't it? So just put us in this energy now that somebody listening out there has got a little bit of energy hanging around their house that they don't know what to do, they don't know how to do it. What kind of things would you expect or recommend?
Well, like I said before, when people come in, we talk about what's going to work for them. And like Dawnie said before with the nun, that she was trying to move a nun on with some witchcraft, that wasn't going to work. Well, it's the same with the person who lives in the house too.
Yes.
You know, there's no point praying to a deity that they don't believe in.
Yeah.
So we would talk with them about exactly what that is. And I also touched on earlier before, like, it depends on whether it's a spirit, as in a soul that's still residing here, or whether it's like that energy in from someone that has left it in the home or created it in the home. So white sage is really commonly known and a lot of people use it. That's North American.
Yeah.
And white sage is really good for clearing negative energy. So those energetics, like after an argument or during puberty, or just as a routine clean, because of course it's much like housework. When you move into your house, you don't just clean it once and then never clean it again.
Yeah.
You have to routinely do this.
Yeah.
So something like sage, whether it be white sage or whether it be like one of our purification incenses.
Yeah, yeah.
And we grow our own sage here and give thanks to those plants.
Yeah.
But every culture had their own purification herbs, and we have got a massive range of purification herbs here. So that would be one option. Yeah. Something like black storax, which is the resin of the storax tree.
Yeah.
And I always joke that, you know, if sage was spray and white, then storax is oven cleaner, because it doesn't muck around. And it gets into all the nooks and crannies. Yeah. And that's also, so its folk name is voodoo witch's gum, and it's used for exorcisms.
Yeah, yeah.
So if it's a spirit, then definitely would recommend that. If someone's happy with the smoky nature of burning natural incense, because we're not talking sticks or cones here. That's a whole other conversation. But sticks and cones don't actually hold any magical or therapeutic. Well, 90% of them on the market don't hold any plant material. So there's not that magical.
It's just the smell.
Yeah, it's just, it's a, anyway, that's a whole nother radio show. we also have mists as well that we have formulated for both purification and protection.
Yeah.
And crystals, like there's crystals to help hold energy as well, because crystals have their own auric field, their own ahua as well.
Yeah.
So there's a whole range of products and things that we could talk about and teach people. We've actually made some kits up as well.
Okay.
With like some instructions on it, because we get asked all the time.
Yeah.
We also get asked if we go and do clearings, and sometimes we will, but I would rather teach someone how to do it themselves, because
teach a man a fish, eats for a day.
Yeah,
that's right. And I don't always like going into strangers' homes to do clearings either. Yes. Like, I've kind of become a little bit selective about who I will support to do that, because that's about protecting my own energy too. People do weird things behind closed doors and you've got to be just, you know, aware of that too. Sometimes it's not a spirit.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's actually energy created from people's own bad behaviour.
Absolutely, absolutely. I know I run around with the Palo Santo burning after my little one has had a bit of a tantrum or an energy, you know, that kind of thing. And I like the smudge stick and just waft it around everywhere because, it's just to clear away stuff that we don't not need to hang on to.
So you guys have kind of mentioned some of the tools, you know, like using smoke cleansing or using aromatherapy sprays and things like that. But I think all of those tools are really just supplementary.
They are.
They're there to kind of support your visualizations, you know, or your intention and your practice. So I think the first thing to start with is probably prayer.
They are great, though, if you're not used to prayer and you're not used to doing that manifestation and that intention. It's really nice to have a tool to help support in that.
They're the starter pack.
Yeah. And just going back to with what you were saying before about being selective and to go into someone's home, and I said to her, I'd much rather teach someone how to do it themselves so that they can do it regularly, because you don't just clean your house once. You unfortunately have to do housework every week, month, you know, 6 monthly, depending on what the job is.
Yeah.
But also it's stronger when you do it yourself, especially if whatever is going bump in the night is like an ancestral connection like you talked about before. Of course, that's going to be way stronger and way more healing for you to recognize that, listen to what their message is, than for me to come in and listen to what their message is and relay it to you. You know, because there's more healing in you realize it. You know, there's strength in you realizing it yourself.
Totally.
So we've talked about, you know, doing clearings if there's been like arguments, you know, or things going on, but illness.
Yeah.
Illness was actually one of the kind of first things that people would do, like a smoke clearing or a fumigation, of the house, because a lot of the herbs that we're using for purifying, like energetics, they're actually all antibacterial, antiviral, antifungal. Yeah. Like sage holds all of those properties.
Yeah,
as does Palo Santo. Yeah, and even really common things that people will all have growing in their gardens or in their own, you know, their neighbourhoods, at least rosemary.
Yeah.
Rosemary is such an underrated herb. Yeah, white sage has become really popular, but... Yeah.
It goes back to what people are taught about these days. You know, you say spray and wipe from the supermarket. Alternative medicine was always the original medicine.
Yeah, 100%.
You know? So it's crazy that we are not taught about these things in general population.
Well, back when this building was built, hospitals back then used to burn apple cider vinegar to clear the air. They would have bowls of apple cider vinegar around the hospital to clear the air from the bugs.
In witchcraft now, we call that a simmer pot.
Anyway, maybe we should break to another song.
Yep, let's do it.
Let's play a song since we've been talking about white sage and Palo Santo. This is by the same artist as before, DJ Taz Rashid, but with another band called Momentology.
Okay.
And the song is called Palo Santo.
Palo Santo.
Thank you.
Ah, perfect, especially we're after talking about the Paolo Santo as well. So now it's time for a collective card pull. So just in case you haven't heard about me and you don't really know who I am, I'm Keris, and I came up with a deck of cards that are an intuitive healing process. It's called Peace of Mind, and they're the cards that I'll be using today to see what the collective needs to know and the energies that are coming out today. As usual, they just make their own
way. They're jumping.
They literally just make their own way out. So I've got two here. And this is also going, it's going to follow to the conversation we've had today, obviously, because they always do. And the first card that I pulled is Starseed. And this is actually talking about the energies within us all as well, the energies without us all. It's who we are from. So once these meat wagons are no longer available and we become that energy that everybody else is freaking out about, everybody, we are the ones who are going to whisper in people's ears and do all those fun things. And I do believe that in the most cases, who you are when you're in a physical will be who you are when you're not in the physical. You'll take that energy towards you, and that's who you be. So if you've got any fearful intentions within an energy around you, talk to that person as if they are a human being. If it is a naughty little toddler throwing tantrums, you can tell them, no, don't do that, please. But most of these spirits are just curious. How come you were doing this? I used to do that. It's they are making sense of the situation. And the second card that comes out is the cards are on the table, literally. Take everything at face value is what I feel. It follow your gut instinct. If it feels right, great. If it feels wrong, then do something about it. And the little saying, if it walks like a duck and if it talks like a duck, chances are it is a duck. So I don't know why these words are coming out the way they are, because I just open my mouth and the words fall out. But if that makes sense to you, take it.
I think that ties in lovely with what we've been talking about today. I love your cards. They are really beautiful, and I love the messages that they give as well.
And each one's different.
Yeah, they really are. They really are. I've got a deck of Keris's cards as well. And we sell them here in the shop too. I always enjoy using them.
I had a client, because I'm a massage therapist as well. I had a client came to see me. And as soon as she lay down on the bed, she said, "You are spiritual." I said, "Yes, I am." And so she was from Germany. She was here on holiday. And we just started this conversation. And I happened to tell her about my cards. And I'm pretty sure take it back. As we finished the treatment, she came outside and I happened to open up my phone because there was a message while she was getting dressed. And it was the post that you put up about my cards.
Oh, back before Christmas.
Yeah. And she said, I said, "Look at this. How's this for coincidence? We were just talking about these. And here, these are my cards." I said, "The lady's in the apothecary, which is so far away from where we are now. They just posted about my cards."
Yeah, they are definitely one of my go-to decks to have a look at. Yeah, if I've got a question or something to ask, they're great for the little one-card pulls too.
Yeah, because it is the connection between you and your inner being. Mm. What do you need to know right now?
Yeah, no, they're great, your cards. I'm using my other go-to deck today, which is the Wisdom of Avalon Oracle Cards by Colette Baron-Reed.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to pull a card for the collective and what we've been talking about today too. So, and the cat has come out. And I love this for what we've been discussing today, because the cat's all about healthy boundaries.
And sometimes the best best protection spell, I should probably say, is the word no.
Yeah.
You know, and be discerning as to who you let in your space and what energy you allow in your space.
Yeah.
Have those healthy boundaries. Yeah.
Absolutely. You wouldn't put up with it from a human being. That's no. what I think anyway. Mm. You wouldn't put it up to, up, you wouldn't, if you wouldn't put up with it with the physical, you don't need to put up with it from a non-physical.
Yeah. And also, but, you know, when, you know, we've talked a little bit tonight about people coming into your space that, you know, create energy, clearing after arguments, after tantes.
Yeah.
We didn't really touch on energy vampires, but that's another one that you can need to clear after as well. Indeed. You know, the cat, healthy boundaries.
Yes.
Just say no. Like when a cat's had enough of you, they just walk away.
Yes. I love that.
Short and sweet, Lissa. Right, so these guys have gone to their go-to favourite decks, but I'm a bit of a tarot card collector and I've got lots to choose from. So I just walked over to the shelf before and the Herb Crafters tarot jumped out at me, and it may be because we were talking about some herbs and, you know, different plant power we can call upon to help with purification and cleansing. So, yeah, this is a pretty incredible deck that kind of marries some of the traditional tarot meanings with different herbs. And the card that I have pulled for the collective today is the Devil, and that has been coupled with blackberry, which is pretty cool because the blackberries, I think, will all be ready in maybe a month's time. They're all starting to come through now. And I actually remember this thing from when we were children of the berries that are starting to go a bit gross on the bramble bushes.
Yes.
You leave them. You leave them. They're actually called the Devil's Berries.
Okay.
So I think that's pretty cool how they've kind of married these two up. So yeah, that's seasonal. And I think that this Devil card might be coming up for this conversation today too, and kind of tying in with what Lissa was saying about boundaries.
Yeah.
And I also think that there's a level of self-responsibility or accountability, you know, when it comes to being responsible with our energy. Because the Devil card can talk a lot about getting to the heart of things.
Yeah.
How much time have we got? Because the Devil card is kind of, it's pretty deep. But it is, yeah, very much about, you know, sometimes we mask things. You know, sometimes we avoid or we hide. And that is the thing about the Devil card, is it does have a lot to do with, like, the shadow, the things that we keep in the shadows, the taboos, you know, sometimes even our own darkness, or for want of a better word, our own demons.
Yeah.
And this card and this conversation today is making me think about all of those things that we rely upon when we're avoiding our healing, you know, and that's not real healing if we're just avoiding it. So sometimes this Devil card actually invites us to dive right in. What is the trigger? What is the heart of this?
Absolutely. We've all got the shadow and the light within us all. Mm. It's like the old Native American tale, the man walks with two wolves. One is shadow, one is light. Which one is the strongest? The one that you feed.
Yeah. So that's the one that you pay attention to, the one that you pay your mind to. Yeah, so I think that this Devil card is a message for everybody as well to be aware of the activities, the behavior, you know, that we do and what kind of energy that actually cultivates. And I kind of feel like mentioning alcohol a little bit too, like we are kind of through that that silly season, and a lot of our customs and celebratory rituals, you know, in our society, alcohol has a lot to do.
It certainly lowers the inhibitions.
It does, it lowers your vibration. Yes. People actually talk about a demon called alcohol.
Yeah.
And they reckon that drinking spirits actually kind of invites that demonic energy in, you know, to your life.
I completely agree with that one.
I feel like this whole, the roundabout, the tail end of this corridor, is be responsible for your own energy. And if there are things going bump in the night, ask yourself, what have I done to contribute to this, but also what can I do to now remedy it?
Absolutely.
Yeah, or clear it. And yeah, take that accountability. Yes. And that, yeah, the devil was about self-responsibility.
Totally. Yeah. I completely agree with that one, 100%. Yeah. We all got to be responsible for our own actions.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, if you're going to be a devil in the life, you're going to be a devil in the past life or the afterlife or whatever you want to call it. So we have to be responsibility and, yeah, do the best, you know, for the greatest good of all concerned is my proverb anyway. Yeah. As long as you're not causing any harm, what harm can you do?
Yeah, well, that's the old thing, isn't it? Do as you will with harm to none.
Absolutely.
But also don't harm yourself.
Yeah.
You know, and putting those poisons or those toxins or those temptations in your body.
Yeah.
Sometimes it has more consequences than you realise.
Well, it is because, you know, in the sober lifestyle, you may say no, but temptation.
Mm.
Oh, well, thank you so much for joining me again today. I always love chatting with you girls. It's always a pleasure. And we're coming up to the end of the show now. We're running out of time.
Healing the world one conversation at a time.
Absolutely. So tell everybody where we can find you girls if we want to come to get some cleaning packs.
Yeah, so the apothecary with all of our smoke cleansing bundles and different potions and aromatherapy sprays and, yeah, all of our clearing tools. The apothecary can be found at 19 Robe Street, New Plymouth. We're in the big old villa that is on the corner of Powderham and Robe. And there's a few different spaces in this building, so I often tell people our entrance is actually off Powderham Street, next door to the Big BP station.
Yeah, yeah. Just up the steps. That's the landmark. Best way to get it.
Yeah.
And of course, you can find us online as well on our Facebook page. Or our website is theapothecary.bigcartel.com. And we, like I said before, we have crystals and we sell all of the cards that we've used today and all of those herbs and potions.
A lot of your boxes are already open so people can come and play around with them and test them out and try before you buy.
That is the best thing about having a brick and mortar store. You know, we've all got so much available to us online, but there's something nice about going in and actually picking up the cards, having a flick through the book, having a smell of the potion, had a feel of the crystal, try the jewellery on.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually come in and try it for yourself. That try before you buy.
Absolutely. And, of course, we get to see your smiley faces too.
Well, okay. Thank you so much for having us today and thank you, everyone, for listening to us.
Yes. And as you know, my name is Keris. My website is lovekeris.com. If you'd like to connect with me at this point in time, best way is to find me is on Facebook. And that's also Love Keris as well. So how's about coming to find us, The Apothecary, Love Keris, find us on Facebook, give us a like, share and follow, and we shall all speak to you soon. And of course, none of this would be possible without Access Radio Taranaki 104.4 FM. We shall catch you next week. Best of love.
Blessed be.
Thanks for listening to this episode. For more information and others just like this, head along to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.
This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.